Okay. 3, 2, 1, clap. 3, 2, 1, clap. 3, 2, 1, clap. Good. Well, Nate isn't here today.
Really? That's not like him.
Sometimes, listener, Nate will just, I send the topic to record usually the day before. And sometimes on the morning of that we're supposed to record, Nate will just be like, oh, I've gone to a zoo.
I'm doing a spring clean.
Yeah, I'm hoovering my whole house or whatever. And today he went to a cafe to work remotely for the lols.
That reminds me of in university when I needed to focus. My PC didn't have Wi-Fi, so I just took the Ethernet cable out and hid it in a kitchen cupboard. And I told all my housemates, like, do not let me near that cable until I can prove that I finished my, you know, my reading or my essay or whatever.
Very good. Pity poor Nate, who's probably eating a delicious cake right now. Bastard. This season 2 episode 41 of the Electronic Wireless Show, Rob Hope Shotgun's PC Gaming Podcast, and the only podcast you need in my opinion, which is that of Alice Bell. And I'm joined not by Nate but by James Archer. How are you, James?
Hello, I'm very good. I've just had my first holiday in several months, which is great. Went up to Scotland, a bit of time in Glasgow, a bit of time in Edinburgh, pretty much a whole day of drinking whiskey at one point. That was great.
Oh, lovely. Did you do the thing where, because when you do like drinks tasting stuff, aren't you supposed to like, you know, only sip it and stuff? Did you get wrecked? Did you get hammered?
Well, I didn't get like properly blackout drunk, but yeah, it was like, no. It was a swallow rather than spit situation. I also I went on it with my fiance, and she doesn't like whiskey, so I may have drank her portions as well.
Do you really like whiskey or something? Because why would you organize a whole day of doing something that your fiance doesn't like?
Yeah, it's a nice couple activity.
It was a compromise.
It's not just tasting whiskeys. You get to go around just to see how whiskey's made, which actually turns out to be like identical mostly
each time.
Yeah, like including like all having the same equipment. It's actually because we went to two different ones, and the first time we went round, it was like, oh wow, oh that's really interesting, oh cool, oh yeah, you have to make beer first, oh wow, that's interesting, and then later on in the day, it was just the tour guide telling us all the same things, so I had to like try and I didn't want to like let on that we'd gone to a different distillery, so
ooh.
I was, you know, kind of having to be polite and nod along, be like, oh yeah, oh really, oh yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah,
like opening socks at Christmas, and you're like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah, but if you also got those same socks like earlier that day,
yeah, okay, yeah. I get you. That's good. Did you also do a day of something that your partner likes but you hate?
No. So I guess I owe her one of those.
Yeah, go as a surprise. Do a little like. I don't know what she likes, but just surprise her with a day of like, what do you hate? Beans. No, you love beans.
No, I don't like beans.
Oh my God. don't tell Nate.
this is a plot twist. No,
wide open.
They're useful as an allegorical tool.
Sure.
I don't like the texture.
Oh dear. Well, speaking of beans, no, I can't. Surprises. No. Oh, I don't know. The GTA 6 trailer leaks. Oh, a day early. Bloody hell.
It was a couple of days early, wasn't it? Because it's meant to be Game Awards. Was it meant to be at the Game Awards?
Was it? I thought it was meant to be Tuesday. Anyway, leaked ahead of when it was supposed to officially come out. And then Rockstar said, fuck it, let it ride, and released it officially themselves. What did you think of the trailer, James?
Very good presentation.
Yeah.
Still looks like GTA game. In the sense that, you know, everyone's a dick, including you, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by the social media stuff. That is like sometimes hard to get right in a game. Like just the very specific, I don't know, vibe of social media. Especially because, you know, developing games takes so long nowadays, and what is common on social media now might not be common in 3 years' time when you finish making your game. But it looks like, I like how it's like a very recognizable as, you know, Instagram or whatever, like stuff people are actually using now. And I'm curious as to presumably how it works, like in the game as like a mechanism, or if it's just like story stuff. Because I guess if they're doing like a Bonnie and Clyde type story, yeah, it looks like. And they were kind of like some of the original like celebrity criminals. And I guess a modern version of that would be, instead of, you know, being in newspapers and on wanted posters, you would be, you know, shown doing crimes on the social meds. So, yeah.
The social meds?
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I love that, the social media.
You heard that before?
No. Let's make it happen, though. Let's make Fetch happen. But I, as a trailer, I was like, well, I tweeted that, like, whenever I see a trailer for a big AAA game now, my eyes just glaze over like a podling staring into a dark crystal, because all I can see is like having to write about it in 2 years' time. Like the content more that must be filled. But also, I agree. I liked the swing it took with the social media. And actually, I saw on X or Twitter or whatever, someone did a comparison of like the one-to-one stuff it was, clips that it was taking off.
Oh, like the hammer lady being based on a real hammer lady
and the woman twerking on top of a car being based on a real woman twerking on top of a car. Yeah.
Okay.
Which was cool, and I liked that. But it was, as a trailer, it was very vibes. It was what you kind of expected. It was like a lot of very short clips of probably cutscenes. You know, it wasn't... Yeah. It was a vibe, you know, rather than like, any real information.
Yeah, not showing, like, this is what you'll be doing in this video game.
Yeah, although I suppose they don't really need to show that at this point.
That is also true, yeah.
Like...
I imagine it would involve crime.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like... unless GTA 6 is like a point and click walking simulator, you know, visual novel, whatever, it's probably, we don't need to worry too much about the gameplay, the mechanics, as we say in the business. None of our predictions were really correct, I suppose, in our Grand Theft Auto 6 discussion thing. What did you think? There's another thing I wanted to ask, because there was some rumbling about, isn't it awful that the trailer leaked? And then some people saying like, haha, Lmao, I don't know how you pronounce it, it leaked, haha. And then other people were like, how dare you laugh at this leaking, that's you know, a lot of devs' hard work, etc.
Are
you on that scale anywhere? Do you think about it? Do you care?
Do you know, like, up until like quite recently, I was very, very like, you know, let chaos reign. Like, if it leaks, it leaks.
Yeah.
Because it, I know a lot of people like work really hard on this stuff, like, and not just on the trailer, but on the game itself. But the trailer itself is ultimately still just a marketing tool. And I do struggle to shed tears for, you know, the the minor disruption to a massive company's marketing plan. I at the same time though, I do definitely have sympathy for, you know, the people involved in like the creation of just things, and yeah, they there is having like almost a right to show off their work on their terms, like taken away from them. I'm trying to think, like I don't really do much like air quotes creative stuff outside of like my writing work.
Why'd you say it in that wanky voice? What did you creation?
No, like I
Sorry. I know you're not really like that. You're a musician, James. You are creative. No,
I got kicked out of my band. Did I say this on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I
forgot.
Yeah, no, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast. I got fired from my band a few weeks ago.
God, the band because... I'm so sorry for bringing up something so painful, James.
Not because like I'm a dick or anything. It was musical differences, which I agree with, and it's all cool. There's no beef there. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't write fiction or make films or make games. I mean, that's kind of what I mean. If you were to like have a copy of your book, like your next book, like released, or like leaked, I guess, like someone got an early copy of it and like, I don't know, like spoiled the plot on Twitter or something, like would you be upset?
Maybe. I mean, it's sort of the case of like, well, if people were still going to buy, because the case with Grand Theft Auto is like, people are still going to buy it. It's going to do amazingly well no matter what, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sort of like shedding tears for, you know, tiny indie startup rock star, you know? And by that same token, like if a copy or the plot of my book leaked, but people still bought loads of copies of it, I wouldn't mind. I don't know. Yes and no, I guess. It is one of those things, but yeah, you feel for the creative people, but not for the juggernaut marketing plan. And if it was the case that like this was a quote unquote, you know, a notable indie title or whatever, that is, you know, a debut from like a small game or whatever, then I would be more sympathetic, I guess. And maybe that's wrong of me, but people are still gonna just buy and enjoy this game. And it's not, it's not the game that has been leaked.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the trailer for the game.
For like, which we all, you know, like, everyone knew was coming anyway. Like, the game had been de facto announced by Rockstar. That too was kind of like, you know, they were kind of like pushed into doing that, rumors or leaks or whatever. It's a tough one. I've been kind of like thinking about this for a few years actually, because I used to follow a lot of like data mining stuff for games. So like in games, like I don't follow Destiny, but the one I followed was like Apex Legends. I know it's big in Destiny as well. People like going through the files of updates and then seeing what's in there pertaining to like future content, future updates. And yeah, like all the same like debates around that was still happening. You know, the kind of oh, you know, it's disrespectful to the developers versus like, oh well, it's just marketing, or like, oh well, there's a public interest. I don't agree that there's like public interest in the sense that there's a public interest in political news or whatever. Like people don't need to know when a game is coming out or what's in the next battle pass or whatever. That being said, I think just like the temperature around this needs to come down a bit, because people, maybe some people leak for, you know, the clout to be, you know, known as this cool, you know, in the know leaker dude. But like the reason people are interested in leaks is ultimately because like they're interested in your game and what you're making. Probably like as much, if not more, than, you know, the average player. So I think people who like consume leaked content aren't really like the enemy of the developers. They're, in many cases, they're probably gonna be their biggest fans. So yeah, like I don't think this situation where like everyone gets mad and starts having arguments about leaks is really like appropriate.
For us, it's we're in a sort of slightly different position because, like, in a way, we sound like such an arsehole, but we have a duty to report the leak.
That is true.
Imagine that scene from Newsroom on a plane, and instead of me shaking the captain's hand and telling him that Osiris Imagine's dead, whatever, like, we wanted you, your crew, to be the first to know that GTA 6 trailer is out. So from that point of view, we don't need to get too involved in the discussion around whether leaking is moral. I don't think it's like immoral in the same way that, I don't know, like kicking a baby is immoral. Like, I don't think leaking makes you evil necessarily, but
I don't know,
that's quite a gulf between the two. I don't know why I went for kicking a baby.
Maybe make an argument that it's a form of theft, but then that's that true. Also it depends on, I guess, the circumstances and the technical manner in which it was leaked. If it came from, if someone like inside the company would just like gave out like, psst, have a look at this, that's kind of on them.
Yeah. There was that thing a few years ago. Was it Trusted Reviews or some? I can't remember which website it was, but a website reported on, I'm pretty sure it's Trusted Reviews, reported on the Red Dead Redemption, or they reported Red Dead Redemption's map size, I think it was RDR2, that they had got from a leak. And they then had to pay Rockstar like a bajillion dollars because
there's
a previous
insane amount of money.
Like a previous NDA that did not actually pertain to Red Dead Redemption 2 had like a clause in it that was like, and if you leak any of our IPs ever in the history of the from now to eternity, we'll fuck you up. Which was one of those things where, like, I think the individual journalist who wrote that story did the as much due diligence as they could, but it was sort of, yeah, that was a weird one. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that poster, like, really, really apology.
Yeah.
Well, which was a bit difficult to read, if I'm honest, but
that's why we have company lawyers, you know?
Yeah. It is.
Presumably, we would have been like, Mr. Company Lawyer, does this violate any NDA we've ever signed?
Yeah, my instinct on that was that Trusted should have fought it, but at the same time, also acknowledging they are still like a media company, we know all too well the fact that media companies don't have much money.
Jesus, do we?
And it, you know, someone did the cost benefit analysis and decided it was better to just like pay the fine rather than take it to court or whatever, which, you know, Rockstar absolutely would have done because they're Rockstar.
Oh yeah. 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 But the trailer leaking, I thought, was broadly fine. It looks cool. People are excited for it.
Yeah.
But this does lead to the little bonus question I was going to ask you, because this might change the lineup of the Game Awards, if indeed it was planned for the Game Awards. I thought it was just coming out on Tuesday. I can't remember. But the Game Awards is, as we record this, tomorrow / Friday morning, because we record on a Wednesday. Do you have any big predictions for the Game Awards?
So I saw that the band Poets of the Fall, who play a band in the Remedyverse, called Old Gods of Asgard, they are doing a live show or a live performance at the Game Awards,
of course, yeah,
as Old Gods of Asgard, and I would be extremely happy if this turns out to be them doing Herald of Darkness from Alan Wake 2, which obviously I want it to be that, but they do have another song in Alan Wake 2, which would be much easier to pull off live on the grounds that it doesn't have like David Harewood and
Matthew
Peretta doing vocals for it at the same time.
But then you could just play those lads on the screen behind them, because 100% like Sam Lake is going to turn up and do the dance, you know.
So it's like, so the like
performing
all the
monkey.
So all like the big name actors are just on screens, and then Sam Lake is by himself on stage, doing the dance.
Oh well, Sam Lake is basically the second presenter at this point. Like, I like him a lot, but I feel like he's getting close to jumping the shark. I tweeted, can we be sure at this point that Sam Lake is not like a decades-long ARG? I don't think he's a real boy.
He plays three different characters in Alan Wake 2, and they all appear in like the first 2 hours.
Exactly. He can't be a real man. I don't believe it.
But yeah, he
follows me on Twitter, so really? I keep forgetting. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just tweet about books and hating video games. Do you know what? I'll start tweeting about him and see if he notices.
No, he doesn't follow. He doesn't follow me. Give me a follow, Sam.
Yeah, you really like his game as well. I've only played a little bit of it.
Well, I mean, I do like Alan Wake 2, but I really blooming love this song that they put into it. It's like, it's probably like my most played song on Spotify of like the last month. It's a banger, but yeah. I think they're still show GTA 6. Like they'd be. It might open with Jeff being like grumpy about leaks, because that seems like the kind of thing.
Yeah, he'd care about that, because it ruins his ad platform.
There's some very disappointing behavior. But.
So disappointing. We're all here because we just love video games. Look at my trainers. I hope he doesn't follow me. But we've got a new every Game Awards listener. Our work Slack makes a new Jeff Keighley emote to react to things, and we have so many now. But James made the one this year. It's great.
The top half is Jeff Keighley, and the bottom half is Catherine's Skyrim dad. Starfield dad.
Yeah, you said Skyrim.
Did I say Skyrim?
Even you are forgetting that Starfield exists.
you said Battlefield dad, which confused me even more. But yeah, the terrifying liquid mouthed father of Catherine's Starfield character.
He looks like a snake. He's terrifying. So that's a great emote for this year. What do you think of the nominees? Any surprises? Were you surprised that Starfield only shows up like once or something? Let me look.
Maybe a bit, because that was like the... Especially that was like the big game at the Game Awards.
It's only nominated for Best RPG, and he and Todd Howard are like best mates.
Ooh,
like,
oh, it's gonna be off the Christmas card list this year.
He totally is.
What do you think of the is Dave the Diver an indie game discourse?
I was gonna say there was indie discourse as well. I think Dave the Diver feels indie. because I think I'm looking up the awards now. I think it feels indie, but I think we should say that like it probably isn't. But I don't know. Like,
my stance on this is like, that the actual awards section of the Game Awards is a complete, like, means absolutely nothing, so no one should really
that is the correct take, yeah. Like, the awards part of the Game Awards is the vast minority of the runtime of the show.
As a vehicle for announcements and trailers, it's, you know, is a big deal, but...
Exactly. Yeah. The awards mean nothing. I mean, I'm happy for anyone that wins one, but also if you don't win one, it's fine. I think I saw part of a Stephanie Sterling video. she said, like, not even the Game Awards cares about the awards at the Game Awards. So, like, you don't have to. I think it's going to be a Baldur's Gate and Alan Wake 2 sweep, pretty much.
Oh, definitely Baldur's Gate. For sure.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Baldur's Gate.
The categories do remind me of, you know how in the 90s, like, magazine reviews would have, like, different sections that say, like, music 8 out of 10 and, like...
yeah, yeah.
Gameplay. So there's, like, best narrative, which is... is that writing or is that, like, the overall plot? Like, what does that mean? And then there's best performance, which is that a hardware award, James? Because that was my thought. But no, it's a voice actor performance. So, you know, it all feels a bit, you know.
Is there an award for replayability?
There should be.
Sound.
There's games for impact, which is just games that are about the environment. Or it is most years, but also Vember is nominated in that, which is cool. Best action game, like, what does that mean? I'm sorry, yeah. I'm clicking through the Game Awards website and getting cross at the choice of verbiage.
What I'd like to see at the Game Awards, I don't have a huge amount of faith it will, but is Tribes Free Rivals, which is...
Interesting.
I guess it's kind of like a follow-up to Tribes Ascend. It's being made by, I'm really sorry, I can't remember the name of the developers, but they're like a subsidiary of Hi-Rez Studios who made Tribes Ascend. And I like, it's mad to me that there's basically like a sequel to what was one of my favorite games of like that 2012, 2013 period. And no one seems to care.
Huh.
I think we did like a story about it, but yeah, it makes me a bit sad because like Tribes Ascend did like die a bit of an ignoble death, and I'd love to like just play something very similar, which is what Tribes Free Rivals appears to be, but yeah, and I don't want it to just like perish immediately, so. Yeah, if listeners like Tribes Ascend or any of the previous Tribes games, there's a new one. It's called Tribes 3 Rivals. It looks pretty interesting. Jeff Keighley, please put it in your marketing show.
I'm wondering, do you know, this is an aside, but I wonder if there's going to be another protest stage rush So Jeff can be disappointed, not necessarily by the guy that shouts GTA 6, because what's he going to shout now? Red Dead Redemption 3, is it? But the Game Awards Future Class, which is just a group of, like, I don't know what it even means, really, but it's a group of kind of cool up-and-coming, upwardly mobile developers, wrote a letter about the Israel-Hamas war and wanting support for Palestine, at which Jeff has studiously ignored. So I don't know if anyone will bring it up in speeches or what might happen, but that's something to maybe keep at the back of your mind as well, that something could be mentioned
the group where he posted in the Discord, but it was just a 2-second clip of silence. Oh,
he accidentally posted like a 2-second completely silent voice note, which presumably was an accident, but an ill-timed one, because that was the first and only response he has given to the Game Awards Future Class so far.
To be fair, it is like quite easy to post voice notes by accident on mobile. But at the same time, like, I feel like if I did that, I'd immediately like notice, like, oh shit, delete it.
Fuck,
that would like motivate me more to actually post in the chat, because it looks worse
that's the thing, isn't it?
It looks worse if you buggered it.
Yeah.
To that degree, rather than just successfully ignored it entirely.
Well, let's move from talking to games that are getting awards to games that we've been playing this week. My segues are really going very lazy. If I ever manage to segue at all, sometimes I just say we're talking about this. That's a segue, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, James, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing just a wee bit of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, which is Massive Entertainment's very, 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 very Far Cry-ish open world game set between the first and second Avatar films. It's...
I've just edited... the review, which Edders has written for the website, and will be live when you listen to this, readers. Ah. And his review is basically like 1,300 words of
I have not read Ed's review, but it doesn't feel like a cheap tie-in. It is well presented and has, you know, its own characters and tells its own story, but it is extremely gamey. Like, this is a big open world FPS. We have to have crafting, we have to have hunting, we have to have outposts where you can go in stealthy, all guns blazing. And yeah, very often the only tangible difference between this and something like Far Cry or Assassin's Creed is that you are a 10-foot tall blue alien.
That was one of my favorite things, because Ed had never seen Pandora,
Avatar
even, and so the first time he saw like his character model next to a human, he was like, Jesus Christ.
I was the same. I've never seen Avatar. I thought like in the intro scene when a human comes in and they're much smaller than the nearest like Na'vi character, they were just stood further away. but also when you see an up close like human Na'vi interaction, the Na'vi is like a kid and they're about like the same they're like the same size as a human man. So I was called, I didn't immediately clock that anything was wrong, and it was only like after a flashback and all the characters are grown up and you're suddenly like towering over the nearest NPC and the crouching tutorial is just to walk through what would otherwise be an ordinary sized door.
Oh god.
Which is also kind of funny, because like this facility, the story starts off like you are basically like a kidnapped Na'vi raised by humans to be like a soldier in this underground bunker. And if all the doors are just human sized, it just makes me think that for entirely racist reasons, they just built the entire facility to human specifications without like wanting to acknowledge that there's going to be these
that they were kidnapping
Nubby. There's going to be like these 10-foot tall people walking around. but yeah, like I said, it's a very kind of it's a very Ubisoft game.
You go around and you clear like the horror, the bad fossil fuel human bases, and then
pumps or whatever they are. I had to laugh as well. There's a bit early on where you use the USB hair plug that the Na'vi have to jack in to a giant glowing plant. And it transports you to this mystic realm where you speak to your ancestor, and it's all very spiritual and otherworldly. And then you load back in, and it turns out that's just how you unlock double jumping.
it's
a spiritual successor to the magic tattoo in Far Cry 3, where you know getting a bigger tattoo makes your crouch walk speed faster.
That's such game bullshit. Yeah. I love it.
This game is rich in game bullshit. It is.
Oh, that's great. I might have to play it now. It's like I wanted to play that. What was the one that an ex Ubisoft dev made? And it was about monkeys, like literal chimps. It was about evolution and that. I wanted to play that.
I don't know that one.
It was called like Ancestors or something. And you played as chimps and then you evolved different. Chimp, like you literally evolved depending on like your behaviors and what you could get better at. And I was like, if these game developers aren't cowards, you should be able to evolve to become like more fecund and be better. Like you should be able to get chimp supremacy through like a sex tree on your leveling up, basically. But I don't think they did, and I never played it. So what I have been playing, which is the game that I've been alluding to for a couple of weeks, is A Highland Song.
Which is
Inkle's latest. Yeah. I've been talking about it. When I first started playing it, I was getting very frustrated in the work chat as well. I don't know if you remember, James, I was bitching about it.
I do, yeah.
Because the whole thing is sort of environmental as well, I suppose. You play Moira, who's a Scottish teenager, and she decides to run away from home. Well, specifically, she runs away from like her mum's house on the edge of the Highlands to her Uncle Hamish's. Uncle Hamish is a lighthouse keeper, so you have to get from inland to outland by Beltane, which I think you get five or six in-game days to do it.
Okay.
And each time you walk or travel or whatever, you lose time and the day ticks on, and you have to find somewhere to sleep at night, and if it's too cold or you fall over and you lose some of your stamina and then you're less good at climbing. It's really lovely, sort of 2D but very layered, a lot of parallaxing, and you can see the hills that you need to get through. So the process of getting from your house to the lighthouse is sort of a process of peeling back each layer of the Highlands, and you do that by climbing big peaks, standing on the top of them, and then matching up the landscape around you with a fragment of a map and seeing where the exit basically from this mountain is.
Oh, okay.
And there are a few every level, but the first time you play it is quite frustrating because you maybe don't have many maps yet. Because every time you do it, you can then start again, but you keep the maps and you keep the stuff you already discovered. Because the mountains themselves don't change, but there's a little bit of RNG in terms of like the stuff you find.
It's a bit like roguelite-y.
I mean, I hesitate to say that. But basically, while you're clambering around, you can find like a megaphone and an old knife and different size rocks and a playing card and different keys you can collect as you go and maybe unlock different buildings that you can find. But the first time you play, it's very easy to just like get very frustrated, because although there technically aren't dead ends in the sense that like you should always be able to find a way to the next sort of area, the next level, I guess, of the Highlands, there are definitely dead ends if you like go down a mountain a certain way or maybe the wrong way or whatever. It's quite easy to miss paths and stuff sometimes. Okay. So the first time you play it, it can be a bit infuriating, but the more times you play it, the kind of better you get to know the landscape and the highlands, and you recognize different mountains and you know where you have to go. So you should be able to reach the lighthouse by Beltane on your maybe second or third go, and you will then discover the, you know, Moira's link to the wild. And it's trying to capture that feeling of wildness and running and laughing and jumping into the rain and feeling, you know, very alive. And it sort of does that quite well, but it Ingle's very good at storytelling, but the movement and the animation isn't quite as good. And sometimes when you press jump to, you know, and you're expecting to do, you want to do just like a little hop, but Moira will self-yeet into the void and like fall down the entire side of a mountain because it didn't, you know, catch quite right. Or just some of the pathing stuff, some of the climbing things, just a little bit. Yeah, it's very easy to kind of stumble, I think. But the storytelling stuff is great.
Okay.
Is it like it has you know, at night time you might be visited by a spirit, or you could find like weird little people living in the highlands, or you can find like a carving of a lion that's got a hole next to it, and if you put something in the right thing in the hole, then something will happen. All this kind of stuff. It's great.
Oh, cool. Is that like going off the beaten path stuff, or is it stuff, or you'll just like come across it on what is, air quotes, the right path?
Yes and no. Like, it's very easy to find these weird little things. You won't find all of them on a single playthrough because they're on different paths, basically.
Okay.
But you can also, like, if you do go a little further and you know, there was one point where I went down to the edge of the water, because you can't like walk across water, obviously. But I went down to the edge of a lake, and you can skim stones. So I skimmed a stone, just, you know, for the hell of it. And then Moira was like, wait, that made a noise. And the water was like,
oh, cool,
shallow enough to walk across, kind of stuff. So if you do go and you just kind of engage in play and like, you know, do fun stuff along the way, then you can find stuff as well. It has caves, which are horrible. I hate them, but because you can never tell which direction you're going and where to go and stuff. But it's really sweet, and it made me feel a bit sad that I couldn't go and like in the middle of the day just go and, you know, run around. You know, I've had that a couple of times where like I've had a day off on like a weekday or like an appointment in the morning, and then I walk back home or whatever. And I just like, it sucks having a job. There was one time a few weeks ago where, yeah, I had an appointment in the morning for the doctor's, walked back, it was like a month ago, more than that now, walked back home, and it was like mid-morning, and there was like an old lady like getting her scooter ready, and she waved at a toddler, and then like a dog, you know, ran up and shit, and I was like, God, it sucks having a job.
Oh, you can get a mobility scooter and just drive it about the weekend.
Oh God, I was like, it's Tuesday, I could go get a cake, you know. those communists were onto something, man.
I mean, I don't know. I think the communists were quite big on being a worker.
That's true.
So I might be like horribly...
Well, to each according to their needs, and my need is a cake on a Tuesday morning. My need is a lion bar.
So I might be like misremembering... A Highland Song horribly, but is there like a musical aspect to it?
Yes, there is. That's quite an important bit. There are times where, you know, if there's a long slope or a straight or whatever, you can find a deer, and the deer runs off, and then you sprint alongside the deer, and it plays, you know, trad Scottish music with like bagpipes and violins and guitars and what have you. And you jump in time to these little markers on the ground, and it increases Moira's stamina, I guess. But also it's just like a little, it's a representation of her like enjoying running through the wild and being part of it and stuff.
Oh.
That's, it is fun. Sometimes it does do the thing where like the jump doesn't quite match up and you'll miss a beat because the jump went over it kind of thing rather than, but it's really lovely. And it also, the whole landscape of the Highlands changes a lot based on the weather and the time of day and stuff. So it's a really changeable landscape, and you section up in your head as like a real place, because you're like, you know, if you're standing on top of a peak, you're like, right, it'll take me quite a while to get down this bit, but then there's a long slope there that looks like it'll be a sprint with a deer, and so that will take less time and that'll take me somewhere useful and stuff. So it's very good from that point of view. But I think that Inkle's maybe lack of specialization in movement and animation, yeah, did trip them up a little bit, and indeed trips the player up a little bit, but otherwise very, very enjoyable.
Cool.
And lovely. There you go.
It sounds like that game would be a good fit for a handheld PC, such as the Lenovo Legion Go.
Oh, James! Is it a good day to wear hard?
It is a good day to wear hard, because I finally have a Lenovo Legion Go to review.
Mate!
Yes, I think it's been like nearly a month, since it was supposed to launch, and there was like a massive delay in getting it, not just to us, to like all UK press, I guess.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So this, having said that, like, this is not a review because I only got it yesterday. Spent most of that time just downloading things, and I only had about half an hour last night to actually play it, which I spent playing bot matches in Team Fortress 2 in an attempt to get comfortable with the detachable controller mouse
thing. Oh, lovely.
Thing. This is like, because this is, it's like, it's, you know, this is a USP. It's one of the like Switch style detachable controllers, can go into a little stand almost, and you can use it like an upright mouse.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
So I'm still in the process of getting to grips with this, because it absolutely feels weird to be using what is kind of like a very small flight stick almost, that itself has a thumbstick jutting out into your palm. But I think I'm getting there, like, just even in the short time I've been using it. So I think it could definitely has the potential to work well. And I didn't break the controller connection immediately, like I did with the preview model.
Okay, well, that's something. Yeah, that's an improvement.
That's progress. Actually, like this retail version I've got does feel just like generally better made than the preview one. It's just a bit more solid and rigid, which is, you know, a big deal for something with detachable controllers, because if it's not, it's just gonna like wriggle around in your hands. It's still quite massive for a handheld, yeah, but also not as heavy as it looks, I wouldn't say.
Okay.
So yeah, it's promising. I'm looking forward to playing it around with it some more. But I also think Lenovo haven't done themselves many favors in taking so long to get review kits out to press, because if they had done for release, which was, you know, in early November, we wouldn't have the chance to compare it to the Steam Deck OLED. And the Steam Deck OLED is really bloody good.
Is it?
Yeah. So we'll see. I might have said this before, but I am glad that the companies who are now making handheld PCs are trying to make them like very significantly distinct from one another.
Yeah.
It's not a case of, oh, we made a Steam Deck with a slightly faster processor. There are different like operating systems, different screen, yeah, resolutions, and now like completely different ways of physically playing games, which is good. That's what you want from competition, I guess.
Yes, a vibrant marketplace.
Yeah. So
as they say.
So yeah, that's all cool. It's good times.
It's good. I'm glad you've got one. I feel like the Lenovo Legion Go has become the sort of unofficial mascot of the hardware section, because you've been mentioning it consistently for a while.
It was, yeah. I think the Asus ROG Ally was that also for a bit.
Had a while
getting hold of one of those as well. I can kind of seeing this Lenovo one being maybe like more of a straight upgrade on the Asus one, because it does have like similar, it has like the same like processor graphics chip thing. It also has like big shiny screen, but also all the, you know, detachable controller gubbins, and like the screen is bigger, and I think the battery might be bigger as well. And I think it's only like £100 more. Interesting. I'm sure I'll be back here like either next week or the week after talking once again about the Legion Go.
I look forward to it. Have you got a beans metaphor? The thing you hate.
I guess it's a bit like a cowboy previously tried a particular flavor of beans, which I don't know. It didn't make him sick, but he accidentally crushed the bean can in his hand and spilled the beans everywhere.
Big Lenny hands.
even though the bean seller was hoping to show the beans to like dozens of other people that day.
Sure, yeah.
And now there's a now the cowboy's back eating the same beans, but it's in a, I don't know, is it a nicer can?
There you go.
It's not my best one.
All right, there is no Nate minigame this week while he relaxes in a Michelin-starred delicious cafe. I don't know. Yeah, he's eating a cake. But every week we do recommend something that is not a Lenovo Legion Go or a video game. James, what are you going to recommend this week?
So not to kind of play on stereotypes about the Scottish, but while I was in Scotland, I did have some extremely nice shortbread.
James. Which,
I brought four cans back with me. It is called...
Were they in the shape of Scotty dogs in tartan tins, were they?
No, they're just like... They're just normal round bits of shortbread. Made by Your Peace Baking Company. And I don't really have much to say about this. It's just really good shortbread. Rich but not too like heavy or greasy. Handmade in Fife, according to the tube.
Well,
there you go.
Thank you, Fife, for your shortbread.
Product of Fife.
Is it like champagne? The shortbread isn't real shortbread unless it's made in Scotland.
Otherwise, it's salty biscuits.
I am going to recommend a nearly 4-hour YouTube video, which is about plagiarism. It's H Bomber Guy's latest. It's called Plagiarism and You Brackets Tube. And the first half of it is looking at different examples of how plagiarism is done on YouTube. Or, you know, examples that he feels are clearly plagiarism, hidden or disguised in different ways. Even if they put a link to, you know, these are my sources at the bottom, if they're still ripping stuff off wholesale and not disclosing stuff properly, or, just ignoring that they've done it, and then when they get caught, taking the video down and re-uploading it and pretending they never did it, stuff like that. And then the second half is all just about one guy, so it's a big plot twist. It's very good. It's good for its rumination on the why people plagiarize and the way it's done now and how people don't understand plagiarism. It kicked off a lot of stuff over the weekend, people talking about what counts as plagiarism, and some of the YouTubers he talked about had their fans defending it, saying it's not plagiarism. And also it talks about, creative work doesn't seem valuable until you see that people have to steal it, and, you know, ways that we can adapt other people's work, and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's very good, very long. So maybe set aside some time.
What did you say it was? 3.5 hours?
3 hours and 51 minutes.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's not even my favorite of the long YouTube videos I watch. I put them on. And then it was a 1-2 punch because then the next day, another YouTuber who does music analysis, he's called Todd in the Shadows, very good, just was like, I normally do videos about music, but I know H. Bobber Guy did this video about how this guy plagiarizes. Here's all the proof that like everything he doesn't plagiarize, he just makes up. And it's like 2 hours of like... 2 hours of like lies, and this guy has deleted like his Patreon, his all his social medias. Oh, wow. And he's just like, his career has been obliterated. He was making like 200 grand a year almost from Patreon. Okay. And just lying and stealing. Anyway, it's
musician, the musician YouTuber turned that around pretty fast.
He knew it was coming, so he'd been working on it for a while.
Right.
YouTubers talk, it turns out. I didn't know this, but so that's my recommendation. That just about does it for this week's episode of the Electronic Wireless Show, Rock Paper Shotgun's PC gaming podcast, and the only podcast you need, in my opinion, which is that of Alice Bell. I've been joined this week by James Archer. Thank you.
Hello,
James.
And goodbye, and you're welcome.
If you would like to hear more from Rock Paper Shotgun, you can find us on basically all of the social medias, dying as they are. Just search Rock Paper Shotgun, your favorite one. We're probably there. We use some of them more than others, I don't know. You can email the podcast at rockpapershotgun.com to send in questions, suggestions, feedback, general gubbins. And for all of your PC gaming needs, you can go to www.rockpapershotgun.com. But for now, it is goodbye from me, and goodbye again from James. Goodbye, James.
Goodbye again.
Bye.